Hey everybody, what's going on?
What's up?
It's Monday. Slasher Fred said, what movie were you going to review yesterday? We didn't have one to review yesterday because we didn't watch a movie Saturday, did we? We watched, I think we watched Cobra Kai and
watch that first episode, Cobra Kai.
Yeah, we watched Cobra Kai. Next Dimension Media said, Jenny, did you make it to Disney this weekend? If so, hope you had a great time. Yes, I did. I went yesterday, and I had a blast when me and my sister went. And that's what she bought me for my birthday. She got me a ticket for the Halloween party at Disney, and it was super, super fun. We had such a good time. I didn't get home until almost 2 o'clock in the morning. So, but yeah, it was, like, really fun.
I knocked that shit down when she came in.
I know, because I was like, God, really? I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, I didn't let her get away with none of that.
I think I got maybe 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah, no.
Because I wake up super, super early.
I woke up in the van, and I ain't going to tell you. I woke up and saw that shit, and I was going to I'm going to get some of that.
And it was like, at this point, it was like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I'm so tired. I've been like walking around Disney sleep, like all day.
I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist that shit.
Guamakun said, I saw Smile over the weekend. Yeah, I've been hearing like different things about that, and I kind of want to see it. Like the trailer looked really good. But yeah, see, look, I got a Madame Leota t-shirt from the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, see, it's got Madame
Leota.
Oh yeah,
it looks cool.
Because I went in the shop that they have there by the Haunted Mansion, which is called Memento Mori.
Man, we ought to fucking make a ripoff.
Yeah, we can't call it Madame Leota because that's like Disney will sue our asses.
Yeah, there's other characters in that kind of shit or something kind of like it.
Yeah, they had a bunch of cool shit in that store though.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I told my sister, I was like, well, I told myself I wasn't going to spend $1 million in here, but I said I kind of wanted a new wallet because my wallet's getting really old and flaking off and it's kind of too big for my purse. So I said, ooh, maybe they have like kind of a cool Haunted Mansion one, but they didn't have anything like that. But of course, as soon as I went in there, I saw like 50 bajillion other things I wanted. Like, but I was able to restrain myself and just buy the t-shirt. But you know what I mean. Let's see. Zach says, Jenny, you guys have to watch Blonde, by the way. It is pretty much a horror movie. That's the one. Yeah. I've been wanting to see that, actually. That's the one with Ana de Armas about Marilyn Monroe. And I heard it was, like, really surrealist and pretty fun. And Castellar Garcia says, Sissy is a good horror flick. That's on Shudder, right? I think I just saw that come up today. So, yeah, well, we have to pick something to watch tonight. So we'll find something. I don't know. Like I said, it can't be anything too complicated because I'm like really, really tired.
Yeah.
Because like I walked.
We haven't had a lot of sleep lately.
Yeah.
Storm and everything. And
yeah. Like I said, I think I maybe slept 3 hours last night. Well, that's probably my fault too because I was trying to like stay up because the Halloween party at Disney like went until midnight. And actually, it was longer than that because they did a stage show at midnight. So we stayed and watched that. And then, like, you know, you have to wait for the monorail. And then you have to, and then it was like a 50-minute drive home. So I didn't get home until almost 2. And then I woke up at like 7:30.
And this new protocol I'm on, it really fucks your sleep up.
Yeah.
And I hadn't had any major fucking behavior disturbances. But it gives you insomnia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You can't get any more than about three hours of consecutive sleep.
Well, like I said, that's kind of what I've been having, too.
Right.
But, yeah, so, I mean, we knew that we had to do the haunting thing, because everybody loves these. So we actually watched it. We watched a couple episodes on Saturday night, because we couldn't decide which one we wanted to do. And then I was like, I was kind of rewatching a couple of them today. And I was like, the first one that we watched, I think we were going to go with that one. Because the one we're going to do today is Monster in the Apartment. I think the one we watched after that was The Possessed, which was okay, but I don't know. I didn't love it as much as, I don't know. I thought this one was kind of like cooler. Although I will say that the episode that The Possessed, I can't remember. It's probably season 4. It did have one of the creepiest things in it where like the mom or whatever like gets possessed and she's driving her kid.
She's driving,
and she just like staring at the kid like the whole time while she's driving. It's like, ooh, that was like really creepy. Like the look on her face was like really, really good.
We didn't get around to talking to that one. It's just kind of lower on the totem pole than this one. I'd rather talk about this one, even though this one kind of has filler in it. But
well, they all do.
They all do.
They all do though.
Right.
And there was a little bit, I didn't find so much backstory on this particular case, but the woman that's on this that was telling the story, like the main woman, turns out she was, and I don't know, I'm not going to go so far as to say it was maybe it was like a little bit disingenuous, but because I think she kind of portrays herself as like a skeptic at first, but she's actually like a pretty well-known like paranormal investigator type person.
Yeah.
And she...
Not connected with the Warrens, though. The other one, I think, was, wasn't it?
No, this one had a also little bit of Warrens
Warren
in it.
Connected?
It, a little sprinkling of Warrens. No, but just Lorraine, though. I think this took place after Ed Warren died. You know what I mean? Zach said, I remember the bit from this episode with the door slamming while her and the wheelchair-bound girl are sleeping beside her. Yeah.
That was good.
I actually did really like that scene. And that woman...
She couldn't turn over to see.
Yeah, because she was like... But, that's the thing. And it's like that actress... Because I immediately recognize that same actress that plays, like, the paraplegic girl in this one is the same actress that was in that other episode, which I think is called Hidden Terror... That's about that guy and his girlfriend that move into that house, and then she gets, like, all depressed. Like, because the house, like, makes everybody, like, feel super, super depressed. Or just women, it seems like, because he didn't seem to feel like that. Mm. His big thing was, like, he would just come home and, like, the mail was all over the
floor.
She
kept having visions of that pyramid and the ghosts around it, and remember that?
Was that episode?
I think the same one you're talking about, yeah.
No, I think that's a different
one. No, that was the other one.
See, we're getting them all confused.
We're getting confused, yeah.
Well, that's the thing, and plus, sometimes, like, if we watch one, we'll watch, like, a whole bunch of them, right. So sometimes I mix up the details. So that's why, like, usually for the show, I'll usually watch the episode twice, just to make sure that I'm not confusing the details with another one, because sometimes we'll watch two or three of them in one night. So I actually watched this one Saturday night, and then I watched it again... like a couple of hours ago and like made notes about it. So there's that. Do we have anything else we need to address before? Yeah, Zach says, oh yeah, Hidden Terror, that's the one with that dude Johnny Alonso in it. I talked to him on Instagram before. He's super cool. Oh, okay.
Okay. Hidden Terror.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do that one. That's the one with the where the woman is seeing the triangle with the ghosts and the
I don't think she's seeing that. Is she
dreaming it, or she's having visions of it, or something?
All I remember is they move into the house and she's really really sad and like she's an artist, but I didn't even know she was painting. Like I thought she was like couldn't paint anything because she was just like depressed all the time.
Yeah, no, she started painting that, and they showed the actual painting.
Mango said, also saw Smile tonight and was very good. Yeah, that it looks good. Like, I saw the trailer and it looked really good. So I definitely do kind of want to see that eventually. Whether we'll go to the theater and see it, I'm not really sure. We might end up waiting for it to come out on streaming because that seems like what we're doing. Because the movie theater, we're still paying for that shit, but it's like...
We never make it down
there. It's just far. It's kind of far. I mean, it was slightly far before, but now it's like really far. It's like a whole day. It's like a whole day... endeavor, you know what I mean?
And it's been kind of like we never even got to see Top Gun at it or anything. Maybe we should kill our subscriptions, I don't know, but it's good to have it every now and then because special events and we buy those separate anyway, the special events.
That's what I'm saying. Anything that's Fathom events is going to be is going to be like extra, because for like Riff Tracks Live you have to pay for that.
We just
that's
have
not...
to go twice a month to make it work.
That's what I'm saying. Which isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Really.
We just need to start going twice a month.
Yeah, we probably should.
We have to start going back.
There's shit that I want to see. It's just that we just never end up going.
If we go, we got to go during the day.
Yeah.
That's when it makes the most sense, when it's dead. We can just drive down there.
Yeah.
See it and then come back. It's a lot, the traffic and everything, it's a lot easier. I hate fighting those nighttime crowds.
Yeah. Willa Lee said, did you see Amulet, Jenny? Yes, I did. I remember liking it, but I don't really remember like all that much about it, because it was a while back that I saw it. And let's see. Oh, okay, and Zach says, another thing to sweeten the deal for Blonde, which is, like I said, the Marilyn Monroe movie, Warren Ellis and Nick Cave composed the score, and it's so good. Yeah, so now I'm definitely going to have to see it. I've been wanting to see it anyway because it looked really good. And like I said, I really like Ana de Armas. And I've been seeing like the stills from it. It looks really cool. So are you ready to start talking about the episode?
I'm ready to go again.
And I mean, if at the end, like if anybody like wants me to talk about like being at the Disney party thing, then I'll talk about that. But let's talk about the episode first.
Either that or I can make us something to eat.
Well, that too.
Or you know, I can run off and go and wake somebody and you can talk about it.
You can run off.
Yeah. We're going to run out of time.
Yeah, well, you know, we've only been on
food going up in this motherfucker.
Only been on for 15 minutes. Don't get excited about it.
You know, if we get off at fucking 10 o'clock, and you know, then there's no time
to watch. It's not going to be 10 o'clock. We're not going
to
be.
Not even time to watch movies or cook, so you're just going to bed hungry.
It's only 6 o'clock. Okay. And these aren't, and this isn't like a sidetrack show. Okay. So we're just a haunting show.
All right.
So these usually just run like hour, half, 2 hours, something like that, which is totally acceptable. Yeah, because like I said, we need time to like watch a movie tonight too, because we got a movie to talk about tomorrow. So, all right. So this episode was actually season 4, episode 12, as I mentioned, called Monster in the Apartment. First aired, I believe, in November of 2007. So this episode actually starts with a little bit of a prologue kind of thing, and you don't really find out what's going on with it or who the fuck this is or what's the deal until later on in the show. So the first thing they just dive right into it, because you know how most of the episodes, they start out with, you know, here's so-and-so in the city, and it's this year, and blah de blah. They didn't really do that on this one. It was like a little bit, I mean, they did, but they did like the prologue first. So in the prologue, there's this little girl, and she's sleeping in her bed, and she hears like a creaking sound, I guess, like somebody walking around on the hall or whatever, and and it just kind of sounds like somebody's out there, like scratching. So she goes out in the hallway to see what it is, which, again, if you're a little kid, why would you do that? I think I would just like hide under the bed or whatever, but okay. So she goes out into the hallway, and at the end of the hall, there's like a closed door. I don't know what room it's supposed to be. And she can see all this really bright, like, shifting white light underneath it. And so she starts walking toward it for some reason. Like I said, why would you do that? I don't know. And she keeps hearing these weird sounds. And then all of a sudden, the door pops open, and there's really bright blue-white kind of light in there and wind blowing and shit like that. And it's kind of, they kind of make with the camera tracking, like, it's coming at her. You know what I mean? Like, here it is. So she screams. Then we fade to black. And then we jump to the main story, which takes place 10 years after that, because it just says 10 years later, you know what I mean? So it's almost like a little bit of a cold open, but they don't even tell you, like, what any of that is or what it means until later.
She had some kind of paranormal experience when she was a kid.
Yeah, that's, yeah. But, like, you don't find that out until later. Like, you don't find out what the connection is. So this story actually takes place in Edmonton, Canada, in February of 2003. So we're following a woman named Morgan Knudsen. I think he said it with a K, like, and I was like, is that really how this, I mean, she was on there, so I guess that's how you pronounce her last name, but I would say that, think the K was silent, but it's
Canada.
Not, it's not my name, so how the hell would I know?
It's Canuckland.
It's Knudsen.
Yeah.
From Canuckland. Yeah, but, so yeah. So she's like a musician and a composer. Seems like she doesn't really have all that much money. And she said that her parents had divorced and had moved out of the province. And so she doesn't really have anywhere to go. So she's kind of been like couch surfing at her friends' houses and shit like that. And she said she was getting kind of bummed out about it because she wanted to stay in Edmonton. So she finds a job at like a computer tech support center, like to make ends meet. But obviously that's not enough rent. Like that's not enough to pay rent on an apartment like on your own. So she has this coworker and his name is Bob. I think they said Levesque. I'm not really sure what the spelling is on that. I spelled it L-E-V-E-Q-U-E because Canada and French and everything. And I just assumed, but I don't know. Like I said,
it might be Jewish.
Well, no, I mean, the way they said it, it just kind of sounded like, I was like, that sounds like a French last name.
Okay.
And so I just assumed, but I don't really know. Because he wasn't on there, so we don't know what happened to Bob. I don't even know if that's his real name or not. So there's that. So they work together. Now, he also needs a place to live because he just got divorced. Like, his wife just left him and, like, took their two sons and, like, moved away. And he's kind of in a bad place. So he needs a place to live, too. So the two of them are friends, and they decide to become roomies. So they find this really nice apartment. It's on the fourth floor, but there's no elevator. So it must be, like, an old building. It's just, like, a walk-up. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And basically, like, Morgan is on there, and she says, you know, he's a very friendly person, he's very outgoing and stuff, but he was kind of having a hard time because he hadn't seen his kids in a long time, and he really missed them, and blah, 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 and he was going through some shit. Now, she also finds out, when they move in together, that he's Wiccan, because he puts up all the candles and all that whatnot. And she's like, oh, you mean like witchcraft? He's like, that's a common misconception. I thought that was funny, like the way he said that. But you know what I mean?
He
was
he gets all fucking
He gets all well actually well about actually, it. That's what I was saying. There's a lot of well actually-ing dudes in this one. I'm just, and we'll get to, there's another one too that's even worse. But yeah. So he's like, you know, telling her like all the candles and how they represent different stuff. And she's just basically like, well, I'm agnostic. I don't give a shit what you do. Just, you know, don't burn the house down. So a couple days later, this is kind of the first thing, and like I said, I don't know if this is paranormal, but this is the first thing that they said that they noticed. They said a few days after they move in, they come back from grocery shopping, and they find that they can't get into the apartment. Like, neither of their sets of keys will work in the lock. Morgan said it felt like somebody was on the other side of the door, like, preventing the key from turning in the lock. They said almost like someone was, like, holding on to it or something like that. She said that's what it felt like. And then she said they hear these kind of weird, furtive, like, shuffling noises and, like, footsteps from inside the apartment that makes them think, obviously, that somebody's in there, that, like, somebody broke in. They didn't think it was ghosts or nothing. They just obviously thought somebody had broken in. So Morgan goes outside and, like, looks up at the windows of their apartment, which I guess, like, all the curtains were open and shit like that. And she's like, I didn't see anybody in there. Like, I didn't see any shadows moving around or anything like that, which apparently you would have been able to see. So now the program, like, on the show, they do actually show there's, like, a little ghost boy, like, up there in the window going, hey, what's going on? But, like, you know, obviously she didn't say she said that. She saw that. She said that she didn't see anybody.
That's just a haunting being a haunting.
Being a haunting, yeah. It's just like, hey, I'm here, even though she can't see me. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was like that. So she comes back up. But now the door to the apartment is open and, like, all the groceries are still sitting there, like, in front of the thing. And she's like, what the fuck? And she's like calling Bob, and then he pops in and does, like, a jump scare. And he's like, oh, my key worked all of a sudden. And I'm like, why did you take the groceries then, motherfucker? What are you doing? So and then, like, just popped out and scared her.
Zach's talking about my beard.
Oh, somebody noticed it finally? Yeah, he wanted to see how long it would take.
See how long it'd take.
Before somebody noticed it.
It's just been going on for a couple of episodes. It's just that you guys didn't notice it. Couldn't really see it that much.
Well, on the Friday night show, like, I couldn't even really see it.
We're going to see if I'll have the sides or if I'm just going to do an evil Spock. I'm going to do one or the other. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to fucking... I like it, though.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure I would, but now that I see it, I like it.
This, you know, most people seem to like the side part too, but I could just do the biker thing, you know?
I don't know. I kind of like the side thing.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll see.
It's going to be thin either way.
Yeah, that's all right.
Thin, sharp looking.
Yeah. Mango said the audition for the Village People went well then.
Yeah. You talking about me?
Yeah. Are you fun? Is it fun to stay at the YMCA? Yeah.
Shit, man. Fucking, I ain't been at the YMCA. What you talking about? I had Zach even fucking draw out the blueprints and shit.
Draw out those, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, blueprints to the YMCA.
All right.
Well, that man all man love, actually. These young men.
Young men.
They got nowhere to go. They're up in there in that YMCA. Inside them saunas.
Zach says if all else fails, he could do a Vincent Price stash for Halloween. That would be a cool... Actually, that would be a cool Halloween costume. Would be, like, doing a Vincent Price character from one of his movies. One of the Edgar Allan Poe movies or something.
Yeah, I don't know what he looked like.
You know what Vincent Price looks like.
Yeah, but I don't know what his mustache looked like.
Well, yeah, okay. You'd have to like it. He had a... I think...
I'm not going to do just a mustache. It has to be a fucking full facial hair apparatus.
It's a facial hair apparatus.
Yeah.
You just gave me, like, a really funny mental image of, like, a bunch of, like, gears and fucking pulleys and stuff like that. Yeah. It's an apparatus.
That shit's got to be fucking macho.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Toby's going to love that shit. Toby's got just the evil Spock fucking mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to do, like, beard apparatus comparisons.
Yeah.
Like, next time we see him.
Yeah. You're going to try to out-leather daddy that leather
daddy. Oh boy, here it goes.
Yeah.
Macho Man says.
Well, I went to the fucking biker bar with that, you know, but it was still fucking white, because it's mostly white. I fucking touched it up a little bit of dye, that Just for Men, and that helped make it pop a little bit, because you couldn't see it on camera before. But you could see it on me, but it was fucking white. I went to the fucking biker bar like that. They liked that shit. They said, no, just leave it white like that. Yeah, that's how they, yeah. So you don't think I should do a fucking, get it black again, and just leave it white.
Nah.
Yeah, the fucking Amy was like, no, make it black. The girls were like, make it black. I call them girls, they're women, you know, 50s. Make it black.
Paint it black.
Yeah. Your face looks like shit.
That's fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. They're funny, man. Your body looks great, your face looks like shit.
You're a butterface.
Yeah.
Is that what they were trying to tell you?
No, she says, your eyes are all black. You're like a raccoon. When's the last time you slept? Yeah. They knew it was up.
Ooh, I think I just saw an orb.
Oh, really?
Like, go behind there.
Yeah, that's my spiritual energy.
I guess so.
That's right.
Well, you're talking about gas. It's swamp gas. Yeah. Danny Rowling said, The People Under the Stairs, which I just got on DVD, great original film, would make a good review. I'm pretty sure we've reviewed The People Under the Stairs. It was probably a while back. It's that Wes Craven movie. Yeah, we've done it.
Did we?
Yeah, I'm sure we've done it. Zach says, also, what is it with everyone's uncle having a mustache at some point? I don't know. I don't know. So where was I? Okay, so Bob got into the apartment. The key worked all of a sudden. And then they're like, oh, well, maybe the sounds just came from the adjoining apartment, even though they're pretty sure that the apartment next door is vacant, like nobody lives in there. So later that night, Morgan hears creaking noises, like somebody's, like, walking around. Now, obviously, she thinks it's Bob, like you would, like maybe he got up to go to the bathroom or is going to get a drink or some shit like that. So she gets out of bed and goes down the hall to Bob's room, and, so the show, like I said, I always try to like point out the distinction between what the actual people said and what they actually showed in the reenactment. Like I said, it could be that they said that in the interview and then they just didn't show them saying it in the interview, but then they just reenacted it. I don't know because I wasn't there. But the show actually like demonstrates that she heard something that kind of sounded like a sighing type noise. And then it shows like Ghost Boy again, like behind her. But of course, she, you know, didn't say that she saw that. And I don't actually know if she heard anything like that sigh noise. Although I think she said later that she did hear some stuff like that. So she kind of pops into Bob's room and Bob is asleep. But of course, you know, he wakes up when she like pops in and is like, what the fuck are you walking around? And he's like, no, I'm not walking around. You know, says, don't worry about the noises. It's just an old building, blah, blah, blah. So she's like, whatever. She goes back to bed, says the whole experience was what she called unnerving. That was the word that she used, like the real lady. So Bob, then we show Bob like in his bed, and behind him there's that bright blue white light again, like we saw the little girl seeing at the beginning, right? And some wind blowing and all that kind of action. And it seems to be approaching him. So he sits up and sees Ghost Boy, who says something like, I think it sounded like, I'm lonely. Is that what he said? I was trying to, like, that's what it sounded like to me. And for some reason, like, when I watch these on my Mac, normally I would put the closed captioning on, but for some reason I can't get the closed captioning to come on my Mac when I watch it on there. I don't know why. So I think that's what he said. I think the boy said, I'm lonely. Now, like I said, keep in mind that Bob was not interviewed on the show. We don't know where he is now or anything. So who knows, like, if that really happened or not. I'm assuming that they're going by what Morgan said that Bob had told her. That's what I'm assuming. So 2 weeks after they move into this apartment, Bob and Morgan have a little housewarming get-together. And they invite two of their friends. Now, one of these friends, as I mentioned earlier, is played by the same actress who was in Hidden Terror. So this friend is a grad student whose name is, I think, her name's Stephanie, but I think they said her last name was Wirtz. That's kind of what I heard. Like I said, didn't have the closed captioning on. And she was interviewed on the show, like, a little bit. I think they only had, like, two or three clips of her, but she was on there as well. So she's making jokes because she's, like I said, she's in a wheelchair, she's paraplegic, and she's like, why you bitches have to, like, move into a, you know, apartment in a walk-up? Like, you don't even have an elevator, and, like, so somebody, every time she comes over, somebody has to, like, essentially, like, carry her and her wheelchair, like, up the stairs, you know what I mean? Because that's the only way that she can get up there, which has got to be a giant pain in the ass. So Morgan and Stephanie have apparently been best friends since high school. So the other friend that's invited is named Court, which I'm assuming is short for Courtney, and he's the manager of the tech center where Morgan and Bob both work. So I'm not sure how well they knew him prior to this, but yeah, they invited him over. So they're all talking around the table, having some wine or whatever, and Morgan makes a joke about Bob sneaking out at night, like, to see a girl. Hey, who are you sneaking out at night to see? Because she keeps hearing the creaking and thinks that it's Bob, like, sneaking out the apartment at night. Now, he kind of gets uncomfortable, like, bitch, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I don't, you know, but he just kind of tries to play it off because he doesn't want to make a scene, I guess. But, like, after the end of the party, he asks her, is like, were you really serious about hearing footsteps? Because it's not me. And she's like, well, maybe I'm just imagining it. Maybe it's just the house settling or whatever. And he's like, no, it's not just you, because I've been hearing weird shit too. And then he drops the bombshell that he's like, I've also seen some shit, in particular, what appears to be the spirit of an 8-year-old boy named Joseph. Now, Morgan asks, well, how do you know this kid's name? And Bob says, well, the ghost told me. I've seen him a couple of times, and he talks to me. So, you know.
I tried to make a drink out of that spice rum and the pineapple juice, and it tasted like shit. I had to pour it out.
Spice rum and pineapple juice didn't taste good? Why not?
Unless that it tasted like maybe the pineapple juice went bad.
That pineapple juice isn't that old, is it?
No, I don't know, but it just tasted fucking terrible. I poured it out and got moonshine instead.
That's right, I forgot we still had moonshine.
Yeah, apple pie moonshine.
My sister told me, I was talking to her on Thunder Mountain Railroad yesterday, and we were talking about that moonshine, and she said that Old Smoky, because she was in Tennessee, and she went to a store that had, like, a bunch of those.
Yeah.
She said they have another flavor
that's
really, really good, but I can't remember what it is now.
Wasn't peach, huh?
No, it was, I think it was like a coffee flavor.
Yeah.
Coffee chocolate or espresso chocolate or something like that. Like, it sounded delicious.
Okay.
And because I told her about the butter pecan, and she's like, ooh, I didn't know they had butter pecan. She's like, I saw that. We got the apple pie one, so she's had that.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, she.
Good, just straight.
I think she said it was like coffee chocolate or mocha or something like that.
Yeah, here, taste that just straight.
Yeah, that's delicious.
Just great, yeah.
Mango says spiced rum with ginger ale is great.
Yeah, I think I'm just having spiced rum on the rocks.
Yeah. Right. Well, we maybe could get some ginger ale, because I like drinking ginger ale just by itself, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so Bob says, this little ghost boy, he's 8, his name is Joseph, and he talks to me all the time, which, all right. Now, Morgan doesn't really believe him at first. She thinks maybe he's just dreaming it or something because he misses his actual kids. I think what she said on there, she's like, well, I don't really want to say that I thought that he was, like, conjuring up an imaginary friend because, you know, he felt so bad about not being able to see his actual kid. But, you know, that's kind of the direction she was taking it. Now, Bob says he's never experienced anything like this before and says it wasn't scary or anything. He's like, I just mostly felt sorry for the kid. Now, Morgan starts to wonder about, like, the lock thing and the footsteps they've been hearing in the apartment. She's like, maybe this place is fucking haunted after all. Now, Bob happens to have, like I said, he's a Wiccan, so he has, like, candles just all over the place, and he has, like, a candle for every occasion. And he has this one, like, super-duper extra special Wiccan candle, which is a big honking green one. And it's supposed to bring peace to the home and unify everyone in it, like living people and dead people. Now, so he does that. Like, he lights this candle initially with no problem. This becomes a point of contention later on. Now, the next morning, Bob has a doctor's appointment and says he's not going to be at work until later. So he kind of, they have the little thing that has their keys hanging on it or whatever. So he takes his keys and takes off. Now, Morgan's getting ready to go to work, and she said her keys are on the hook where they always are. But then she looks down, like, at her phone or some shit like that, and then she looks up again to get the keys, and they're not there. Like, they disappeared, like, in a second. So then she looks down again and was like, what the fuck? And like, did I put him in here without thinking about it? Like, starts hunting for him in her purse. But then she turns around and the keys are back again. Now she says, I know that when I looked before, those keys were not there. And then I looked again a second later and then they were back again. So, you know. On the show, they show the ghost boy in the background again. Like, I guess they're kind of like implying that he stole the keys, like he, and then like put them back. But she didn't say she saw that. She
thinking, this is kind of weak. And I realized that, oh, last time I was out on the show, I just put ice directly in that fucking moonshine jar I was drinking out of and put it back in the refrigerator, remember?
Oh, yeah, so that's
it's
ice.
It's diluted, yeah, so I'm going to pour the rest of it in there.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. But yeah, so they showed the ghost, but like I said, she didn't say she saw that. She just said that the keys disappeared. Now, while she's at work, Morgan is kind of starting to get a little bit wigged out. So she calls Stephanie. She's like, yeah, I need to talk to you about some shit. And Stephanie says, yeah, come by here after work. And she says, you sound kind of weird. Like, what's the matter? And she's like, she's basically like, well, Bob is seeing a ghost and there's like weird shit going on in the apartment. And she's like, she knows that Stephanie is a believer in the paranormal, so we'll actually like listen to her and maybe like have some solutions or something like that. Now, Court, meanwhile, here's another well, actually, motherfucker. And this guy is actually on there because I guess at least at the time that this...
He's a well, actually, motherfucker.
He is. Yeah, yeah. That's what I call it. You guys know what I mean. You guys know. Yeah. Everybody knows somebody like that. So, the guy that the real Court, he's actually on the show because when this show was filmed, I don't know about now, but Morgan and Court were still dating. Yeah. You know what I mean? It had been like 4 years.
Yeah, let me tell you something about fucking this situation here. This is one of the rare cases where the real Morgan is actually a lot cuter than the fucking actress Morgan. She's a goth girl, kind of, or goth type, reddish, kind of reddish hair. But just kind of funny. That wasn't really a good match between those two.
Yeah. This one they didn't really get. And I mean the guy that's playing Court.
Yeah.
Doesn't look anything like the real guy. Like the real guy looks a little bit, like a little bit chubby, and he has kind of like long.
Yeah.
Kind of curly hair and like kind of like a short chin with like a cleft in it.
Yeah.
And the guy they have playing him in the show looks like
he's like Chad.
Legolas. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, he looks like a Chad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's got like or he looked like not Legolas, but shit, man, who does he look like? He looks like some actor that
he's just a Chad.
Yeah, he looks like a Chad. Like with the blonde hair and like the chiseled jaw and everything like
that. Yeah, and the real girl's kinda like she'd be like one of the top level girls at a goth club, you know, like one of the popular girls. Be like that.
Yeah, and like I said, she's still around. Like her website is still around and everything like that. Yeah, and like I said, she's written a couple books.
She looked like a goth girl that was trying to hide the fact that she was goth on television. Is she gothed out as fuck?
Not really. No? Although there is a picture of her like on her Amazon author page, where she looks more. She has kind of like a black. Like pixie haircut, it looks almost
like a little Bob.
Tinkerbell, but it's like, but it's jet black, and it's kind of like combed. And I don't know how old that picture is because I'm assuming she's like way older at this. Although they said she was 20 in 2003, so however, I
can't. She'd be 43 now.
Yeah, so
that's still fairly young.
Yeah, that's still pretty fairly young.
She could still be going to the club.
Well, yeah, we do.
Like us. We're fucking 10 years older than her ass. Yeah.
That's right. But, yeah, so here's Court. Now, this, I'm not really sure I don't know. But this kind of weirded me out because Court is actually her supervisor at work. So, I know different companies have different, this is Canada, maybe they have different laws, but there's no law against it really, like about, you know, a supervisor dating. But yeah, it's usually policy because, well, and you can understand why. They don't want like all kind of fucking drama and favoritism and shit like that. But apparently there are no issues here because Court is her supervisor and he's all Mr. Smooth and asks her out on a date. Like out for drinks. Now she says, "Oh, I just made plans to go to Stephanie's house, but I'll take a rain check on that because you know there's sparking and there's all kind of stuff going on there." Now Court asks where Bob is because Bob hasn't shown up at work yet, and Morgan is like, "Well, he had a doctor's appointment this morning, but I don't know why the fuck he's not here because he was supposed to come in this afternoon." So later on, Morgan goes to Stephanie's house and tells her all about what's been going on, you know, vis-a-vis, like, all the supernatural shenanigans. Now, Stephanie said, this kind of, like, made me laugh, the way that they kind of put this in. Stephanie said, you know, I was watching a TV show earlier today that had Lorraine Warren on it. And she's like, oh, and I taped it. Like, I happened to tape it. Sit down right here. We could watch it. So they show, she shows Morgan, like, the actual clip of Lorraine. And basically all it is like, a clip of Lorraine saying, you know, spirits are attracted to our auras and blah, blah, blah. And they know what our auras is. That's what our real, yeah. real selves are like, yada, yada.
Zach says his sister looks, he Googled Morgan. And he says, oh, my God, she looks exactly like my sister. You got a cute sister, Zach.
That's really funny. Yeah. I thought she was cute. She's still cute. She's still cute. Like I said, you can look her up nowadays because she still has a site. The site, and they talked about it on here, and I was curious to see if it was still around, and it is. So, okay, so where was I? Yeah, so Morgan finds, she's like, hey, I wonder if this Lorraine Warren lady could help us out, and sends her an email. So she says, subsequently, like, her and Stephanie became admirers of Lorraine's cases and investigative methods. That's what they said. So Morgan gets home. When Morgan gets home from work, she finds Bob trying to light that big green candle. Remember how I said before, and it lit the first time? But now, he cannot get it to light. Like, it will not. Like, he's been standing there, like, all this time, and it's, like, holding it. He's like, why would it fucking light? And she's like, well, maybe the wick's just wet or something like that. Like, calm down. And he gets, like, really cranky about it. But it turns out that he's not cranky all, you know, just because of the candle. Also, he's like, oh, by the way, I was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah, leukemia.
Yeah, I think it was leukemia. Well, they said blood cancer, which I'm assuming that's leukemia. It's leukemia. And that's why he never showed up to work, even though he was supposed to come back in the afternoon. Now, so Morgan obviously is like freaking out, like, oh my God, oh my God. And he's just like, fuck you, I don't want to talk about it. And he gets like really, really aggro about it. So he goes in his room and closes the door. It's like, you know, leave me alone. Like, you know, he gets all like that. So then, like, at least on the show, Morgan supposedly sees like a black shadow figure type situation, like walking across the living room in front of the mirror or whatever. But I don't know if she really saw that because she didn't say anything like that. So Morgan and Court go out on their date. And she's telling him about all the weird shit that's been going on, including like all the weird shit about the candles. Now, Court is being a real douche about all of this, pretty much insisting that it's like, I'm going to prove to you that there's a scientific explanation for everything that's going on, and I'm going to bet you money that I'll go back to your apartment and get that candle to light. And he's, like I said, he's being a real, well, actually, motherfucker about it. So they go back to the apartment, and he lights all the candles, like, being really condescending. He's like, one, two, and she's like, yeah, cool, motherfucker, but those weren't the candles that we were having an issue with. It's that one that won't light. So he lights all the other ones, and then he tries to light that one, and it won't. And he's just like, oh, huh, okay, my douchery didn't work on this, so I guess not. But then, like, it suddenly, like, sparks up. She said it looked like a sparkler. Like, it was like, psh, like, all these fucking shit came out of it. And she said this wasn't like, it was just a regular candle, so it probably shouldn't have done that. So, you know what I mean? So they're out there doing that, and then Bob comes out of the room and just, like, looks at him, like, all spookily, like, whatever. And then kind of, like, wanders back into his room. And, Court's like, well, what the fuck is his deal? And I guess that Morgan didn't want to tell him, it's like, hey, he has cancer, because that's not really her place to say, I guess. So she's like, he's working through some issues right now. So, you know, Court then leaves because, you know, everything's gotten really awkward. So Morgan's been trying to talk to Bob, but he never wants to talk to her. He just spends all his time cooped up in his room, and he's supposedly talking to that ghost boy in there. Like, you can hear him talking to the kid, like, through the wall. The next morning, though, says Morgan, Bob seemed much better. Like, he almost seemed, like, back to normal again. Like, he was all dressed and groomed, like, regular. He had made coffee, whole nine yards. He was, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I was being such a dick, blah, blah, blah. He's apparently also made plans to go visit his sons in Saskatchewan, like, for the upcoming weekend. But despite this, like, the show still makes it plain that something is going on with him. Because, like, he's like, yeah, bye, and then, like, goes out of the apartment, and then he's like, meh, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like that kind of situation. They're trying to show you that, like, something's still going on with him. So at this point, Morgan goes to take a shower. Now, on the program, they show the bathroom door, like, opening by itself, and Morgan hearing something weird, like a sigh or a screamy kind of weird noise or shuffling or whatever. And then there's, like, shadows of hands, and they, like, drag themselves down the shower curtain, like, rah, like that. Actual Morgan said, I didn't know if it was going to attack me. All I know is that it wanted me very scared. Something more than a child was in the house. So supposedly, I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, but she's trying to say that this was like the point at which she realized that this wasn't like a little kid, or if he was, like, the little kid was a real asshole.
Little kid's an asshole.
Well, hey, little kid.
You were a fucking asshole.
little kids can be assholes too. So at work, Morgan, like, basically that happened, and she, like, freaks out. So she goes to work, and Bob's, like, on the phone, because they do, like, computer tech. So she's talking to somebody going, yeah, you need to fix your computer and yada yada. And she just, like, runs up to him and is like, Bob, there's, like, this crazy shit happening in the shower. And she's, like, trying to tell him, and he's like, bitch, like, chill out. And, like, I'm on the, you know, phone with a customer or whatever. She's like, Joseph was trying to threaten me, and then he gets, like, really, really butthurt. You can't possibly think that Joseph would mean you any harm. Like, he would never do anything like that. He's just a little kid. So all of that's going on. And Court, this is in a workplace, you understand. So Court hears the whole conversation and goes up to Morgan and says, you need to calm down. And I'm like, oh, my God, don't ever tell a woman to calm down when she's, like, getting all upset about that, because that's just going to make her madder. So so the real Court.
What's your name again? Morgan what?
Morgan Knudsen, K-N-U-D-S-E-N.
I want to see the site. They're talking about her site.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, this kind of made me laugh, too, like, when we were watching the show. So the real Court is on there, and he is helpfully explaining, because I guess when she was talking about the weird shit that happened when she was in the shower, like, with the shower curtain, like, coming in and blah, blah, blah. So the real Court on the show, like, then very, very helpfully explains for all of us, you know, stupid women out in the audience, like, how temperature differentials and updrafts work. Well, if it's hot in the bathroom and then, like, somebody opens the door and it's a cold draft, like, yeah, it'll make the curtain blow in. I'm like, really? Gosh, thank you for explaining that to everybody. But, yeah, so I just thought that was, like, super funny. Like I said, he's just, like, such a well-actually motherfucker. Then he says to Morgan, he's like, why are you so invested in this, like, paranormal bullshit? And then she finally, after all this time, like, admits, oh, it's because this has happened to me before. And at this point, we find out that the whole prologue with the little girl, like, going down the hall and the bright light and all that kind of stuff was her when she was a kid, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah, okay, and I'm looking at her. She's cute. She's older now. She kind of, yeah, that's a goth girl. She's doing, because look, she's doing almost like a Peter Murphy fucking 20.
Yeah, that's the picture I was talking
about. And then
she's got
kind of, what do you call it, steampunk type stuff.
Yeah,
that's
a
scene girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's cute. She aged well. In the show, she's a lot younger. She's with red hair. But I could tell. I could spot a goth. Come on. Jenny and I are fucking came up in the scene.
Goth spotter.
We could spot them.
That's her.
She's just keeping it undercover.
Which, yeah. Like I said, nowadays you don't really need to anymore.
Right.
I remember when you did have to. Yeah. Like, especially if you were going
trying to keep her credibility.
Stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we find out that the whole, like, prologue at the beginning with the little girl was actually her, which, like I said, I don't know, like, what, because, like I said, I don't know her, and I don't know, because it seemed like they were trying to paint it at first, like, when Bob first started talking about the ghost and everything, like, she was talking about, oh, I was really a skeptic about this kind of stuff, but then she admits later on that, like, no, some weird paranormal shit happened to me when I was a kid, so I would have thought that she would have been more open to it. I don't know, maybe that was just, like, the narrative that the show was kind of trying to put across. So she's like, yeah, it happened to me when I was a kid. Now, she said what she described was not exactly like what they showed. Like, because I feel like in the prologue they showed, like, the door opening and it was just like a bright light, like, you know, like in Poltergeist when the fucking closet opens and sucks in Carol Ann or whatever. But she said what she saw was a white, transparent, opaque form. She called it a form. So I'm guessing it was like a white, like a person, like a human kind of form. Not so much a bright light. I don't know. But that's what she said anyway. Now, so Court, not real Court, but the actor, I don't know if he really said, like, anything like this to her in real life. He says, Those are just nightmares. Little girls have nightmares all the time.
Ooh.
Not little boys, no. Yeah. Not adults. Only little girls have nightmares. And I was like, oh my God, I would have punched you in the dick so hard. But yeah, that was the actor said that. I don't know. I was like, okay, bud. And she gets mad. I mean, obviously, understandably. And she's just like, you know what? Just forget it. And she was on the actual her was like on the show saying it's like, yeah, he was being like really unsupportive. I was like, yeah, clearly. So she goes to talk to Stephanie again. And Stephanie says, you know, I've been reading all these books. You've been doing like all the Van Helsing research or whatever. And she says, we should spend the night in your apartment and try to prove that Joseph is really there, if indeed that's what this is, using EVPs. And in these earlier shows, they always had to like explain what EVPs were because I guess that hadn't like saturated into the culture at large at that point. So they're like, you know, electronic voice phenomena. We're like, yeah, we all know what that is now. So they get like, cause I guess because Morgan was a musician and she had like this little tape recorder deal. So they're like, well, we're just going to use that. So they're in Morgan's bedroom talking about how they're going to do this. And then they hear the sound of something breaking like out in the living room. So they go out there and they find that Morgan had this kind of like ceramic dragon that she'd been keeping on. I think she said she made it, but I'm not really sure. But it was like really like had a lot of sentimental value for her. And so it was on the mantle, but now it's like in the middle of the floor and it's like broken into a million pieces. So she said, and nothing else had fallen off. So she said, well, she considered that the spirit like declaring a challenge. You know what I mean? Like he was trying to like fuck with her specifically. So they do the EVP thing, but she says nothing came out on tape. Like they didn't get fuck all. So they go to bed. Stephanie hadn't really wanted to stay overnight, but by the time they got done with what they were doing, it was too late to call the neighbor. Because like I said, remember somebody had to carry her up and down the stairs, like in her wheelchair because there was no elevator. So it was too late. The neighbor had already gone to bed and they're like, she's like, okay, well, you'll have to stay here then. And she's like, not super happy about it. So in the middle of the night, they both hear somebody moving around in the apartment. Now, Bob's not home because he was out of town. So at first they think it's Bob like back early from the trip, but then the bedroom door, like what Zach was talking about earlier, the bedroom door like opens by itself and then slams and opens by itself and then slams, and it keeps doing this. And the thing about it is that Stephanie, because they kind of like got her into the bed, but you know she can't move her lower half, so it's like she can't really, you know Morgan can't really like move her around all that good. So she's like laying with her back to the door, so she can't really see what's going on. She just hears a bunch of noise and she's like, what the fuck is going on back there? You know what I mean? So it's that kind of shit. So the door apparently kept opening, closing like all night. She said, Morgan said it did that from 1:35 in the morning till 6 in the morning. Like, it just kept doing that, like, all night long. And they were just, like, freaking it out. And she's like, they were essentially, like, stuck in this room because, you know, Morgan couldn't get Stephanie out of bed by herself. And she didn't want to leave her there alone, obviously. So there wasn't really anything they could do other than just kind of, like, lay there and listen to the fucking door slamming all night. So they try to call court, but there's no answer because I'm assuming it's the middle of the night and he's probably sleeping. So at dawn, they finally get hold of court. He comes over and helps get Stephanie out the bed and into her chair and back home. Court is starting to think that maybe I think he's kind of finally starting to believe her at this point. I guess because Stephanie was there too and she's like, motherfucker, like all this stuff is happening. So he starts to think, well, maybe you would be safer someplace else. Like, do you have someplace else you can stay? But Morgan's like, you know, this is my apartment. It's like, I don't really want to have to like leave just because there's a fucking ghost in there that's being a douche. So they get back to the apartment and Bob is there. Now, he seems okay at first, and he says while he was on his trip, he bought this other super-duper, even more super-duper blessed candle that should be able to light the green one that they were having so much trouble lighting previously. So while Bob does this, Morgan surreptitiously turns on the tape recorder to see if she can get some EVPs, because she heard something about like temperature or something like that. I don't remember what it was. So the green candle lights seemingly without incident. And he's like, ooh, ta-da, look, we figured it out. Court also notes here, the real court notes here that he had noticed that Bob's personality had changed significantly, like, since he had moved into this apartment. Like, his words were he called him eerie and odd. That's what he called him. And that wasn't what he was like before, but apparently. Now, when Morgan and Court listened to the EVP tape back, like, of when the candle got lit, they said, as the candle is being lit, there's something that sounds like a scream, which obviously they didn't hear when that happened in real life. It just came out on the tape. So at this point, Morgan calls Lorraine Warren back. Now, Lorraine Warren, like I said, she didn't come out to this. Maybe this was past the point where she was, like, traveling to places. She's just, like, calling places and, like, yeah, sort shit, whatever. So basically, Lorraine says, yeah, it's a demon. Because that's what she's up to. You don't have to call her. That's what she's going to say. She says, Joseph is not a little ghost of a little boy. It's a demon pretending that it's a little boy, like, to get to Bob, because the ghost or the demon knows that that's what he would respond to, because he has sons and he misses them and blah, blah, blah. So she's like, yeah, Bob's possessed, and he was, like, at a real vulnerable place in his life with the divorce and the cancer and all of that. Now, Lorraine says, what you have to do is you have to talk Bob into renouncing Joseph. Also tells Morgan, you need to fortify yourself with vitamins, minerals, and Jesus. And so...
fortify yourself with Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she even said... Well, I think that's why I wrote it down funny in my notes, because she used the word fortify, which also which makes me think of breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
So, now with more Jesus. Frosted Flakes. Jesus Flakes. So yeah. Now, at this point, Court tries to convince Morgan, hey, you should come crash at my place. But Morgan's like, look, I can't leave Bob alone. Like, he needs help, obviously. And no one else will help him, even though he's still acting creepy as fuck. So Morgan finds him in his room, and he's sitting, like, in a circle of candles. And she's like, hey, we need to call a priest, or you need to go talk to a priest. And he's like, no, I'm not fucking doing that, and gets, like, really pissed off. And she says, you're different, man, kind of thing. And he's like, yeah, well, a cancer diagnosis will do that, blah, blah, blah. Which, yeah, okay, I get that. She's like, you know, that's not it. And then she says, I bet your sons noticed it, too. And then he gets really mad. He's just like, if I do it, will you just shut up? Like, he gets all, like, fucking pissed off about it. So Morgan takes Bob to a church. But he pulls a Damien from Omen, like, when they're pulling up for the wedding, and he's just like, no. He doesn't, like, overreact like that, but he's just like, nope, I'm not going in there, nope, 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 and he just, like, walks away from the church. So Morgan meets with this Catholic priest who is not appearing on this program, and tells her to put a bunch of, like, religious paraphernalia in the apartment, and to, in particular, to recite the Saint Benedict prayer for the poisoned. And I was like, wow, that's really a thing? And they make little cards and everything, at least like what they showed in the thing. That's a very specific. But I guess that's what they call it, because you're poisoned by a demon or whatever. So that's what you got to do. Priest says, wish I could do more, but I'm too lazy to come out to your house. No, that's not what he said. He's like, I could do more if Bob would come here and meet with me. Like I said, he's too lazy to come out there. But again, Bob says, no, I'm not talking to no priest. He also gets really shitty about all the crosses. Oh, are you a Jesus freak now, he says, and then, like, yells at her, like, take all this stuff down, blah, blah, blah. That's the demon talking. But then, like, while that's going on, he seems to kind of, like, break down, and, like, then it's him again for a second, and he kind of starts crying, and he's like, I know this isn't me, and blah, blah, blah. I have all this anger in him, I don't know where it's coming from. But then the demon, like, takes him back over, and he starts getting all aggro again and screaming and whatnot. Now, at this point, Morgan goes into the kitchen, and then the dishes all, like, start rattling, like, in the cupboards and the shelves and stuff, and then one of them flies off and, like, hits her, like, bam, like, right in the forehead, like that, and leaves, like, a big gash. I don't know what happened in real life, but that's what happened. She had, like, a big Band-Aid on her forehead. At this point, she's like, yeah, fuck this, and she goes and stays with Court. Now, so she's going to move in with him permanently, but before she does that, she wants to make one last attempt at helping Bob. So her and Court go to the apartment and start reading that Saint Benedict prayer, like, for the poisoned, and they're just, like, reading it. I don't know what happened in real life, but on the show, they had these candles on the table, they start rattling around, and then they start hear weird noises, like, screamy kind of shit. Then the curtains start blowing, there's, like, a whole phantom wind situation. Like I said, probably in real life, they were just, like, sitting there reading off the card, and nothing was happening. But whatever it was, like, it freaked both of them out. Court's like, we're getting the fuck out of here, and they flee. They actually bang on Bob's door and try to get him to come with them, but Bob says, nah, and then apparently what they show on the show, he goes with the Joseph demon. Like, Joseph comes to the window and is like, hey, I'm really a little boy, come in, blah, 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 and he's just like, okay, I'm coming. Yeah, that was that. So Morgan goes back to the apartment, has to go back to the apartment to get her stuff, because like I said, she's moving in with Court, right? Now she waits until she knows Bob's at work. Like they all work together, right? So she waits until court like calls her and says, "Okay, he's here now. Like you can go back to the apartment and get your shit." Because she doesn't know like how he's gonna react because he's been acting like really fucking crazy. So while she's at the apartment, though, Bob finds out that Morgan took the day off for personal business, and he like pretty much twigs on. He's like, "Oh, that bitch must be back at the apartment like getting her stuff." So he like ducks out of work and then goes back to the apartment to like see what she's doing. Court tries to actually call and warn her, but she left her phone in her car, and it's like too late anyway because he'd already been gone an hour by the time he realized it. So Bob comes back, he accuses her of like sneaking around, all this other shit, and she's like, "Look, man, like I just try to help you and I just can't do it anymore. Like your shit's throwing dishes at my head and I don't like it."
Your shit is throwing dishes at my head. I'm thinking Mr. Hanky jumping that fucking
okay. Your shit is throwing. I just use the word shit as just like
it's
that's
funny.
Like it's like yeah, no, thing. Saying,
I know.
It's like thing.
Of course. It's the you did it in the American style.
Yeah.
Shit. I mean stuff.
Yeah. Your shit is doing my shit. Like what the fuck?
Yeah, your stuff is fucking with my stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's gonna have those fucking fucking American subtitles for you people up in Europe to know what we're talking about. Although I'm sure Americanisms have seeped their way into the fucking world, global culture.
Well, yeah, because everybody watches, like, American movies.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of knows. Well, not always, because it's funny how, like, sometimes little things that kind of slip between the cracks will... Because, like I said, one guy I really like on YouTube... his name's Lawrence, and he has a thing called Lost in the Pond, and he's British, but he's lived in the U.S. for a really long time, and he's married to an American woman. But he's like, even though he's lived in the U.S. like in the Midwest for like 14 years or something, it's like every now and then he still comes across like weird little like turns of phrase and like weird little names for things that are strange that like because it's. You know, the big stuff that everybody knows, but there's always like little things that you don't think of, and you're just like, why the fuck do you call it that? I don't know.
When I was going to high school in Brazil, I was in an international private school, and curriculum was IB, International Baccalaureate, and it was English speaking, and you had people from all over the world. São Paulo, Brazil. They had Japanese girls and everything. Not boys, but girls, okay. The boys were too important. They had to stay back in Japan to get a real education. All right, that was the thinking. But I hanging out with Europeans. I was hanging out with a Dutch chick named Manon, and her brother. And we went to go see a fucking movie. It was the first time we saw Predator 1. Her and her brother were with me. They just arrived to Brazil, and they were tripping out not only on Brazil but on me, because English, you know, Americans, you know. And that was one that really blew their mind. I said, "This is crazy and shit." And they were like, "What?"
And shit.
And shit. And, they were saying, and the whole me ending the sentence with "and shit." And this shit is fucking crazy. You know, the whole shit thing really. And so it means stuff. But they were laughing like I didn't know what I was talking about. So yeah.
Yeah, it means
I'm trying to explain it.
Or it means American and man. So forth.
And so forth. They thought it was just me.
Not everybody, but a lot of people do that.
But
a lot of people do that.
Yeah, yeah, but because they learned their English fucking back in Netherlands.
I mean, well, that's the thing. It's like learning English and living somewhere.
Right, yeah.
With where you grow up speaking English, it's two different things. It's just like, you know, when I learned French in school, if I went to France, they would probably just like laugh at me because I'm learning like proper French and they don't speak, they don't talk like that.
Back in those days when it came to Europeans, I hung out with some British guys too, but they went to a British, they didn't go to the same school as us. They went to a British school, it was Catholic, it was called, I think, St. Mary's Academy. And the British were on their own fucking compounds. They didn't mix with any other people. And they were a lot like Americans, but they were kind of like Yankees. They were kind of like somebody from the New England area. They were afraid to mix with Brazilians and shit. It was weird. Like Japanese. They were like the same way. But the closest Europeans back in those days that could hang with Americans and Brazilians inside of Brazil were Swedish guys. Not the girls, but the guys. The girls were fucking... stick in the booty, fucking stuck up, fucking. Even Swedish dudes wouldn't date them. They dated Brazilian girls. But Swedish dudes could, they even as teenagers, could fucking drink you under the table. They were fucking party animals. I liked Swedish dudes. Not girls, not Swedish girls. But, you know, that's just little anecdotes from back in the 80s, growing up in the international expat community in Brazil. It was a trip.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that still applies nowadays.
It may not apply today, yeah. But back in the day, fucking Swedish dudes were kind of like, I wouldn't call them rednecks. They were like mountain fools.
And all of this isn't it interesting that all I did was say the phrase "your shit threw dishes at my head."
Yeah.
And suddenly we ended up talking about Swedish dudes that are mountain fools.
They were like mountain fools. They were fucking fun, man. They were really fucking fun.
Within like 5 minutes. Yeah. It's mystifying to me how that happened.
But I was always under the impression that they thought they were getting away with a lot of shit. You know, which they probably were.
Yeah.
Because we'd go out and party and they were doing all kinds of shit they could probably never get away with in Sweden.
I was thinking to myself, I mean, I don't, it doesn't usually occur to me that I swear a lot because I'm just like kind of used to that's how I talk.
Yeah.
I kind of became aware of it like yesterday because me and my sister were at Disney and I was like, maybe I shouldn't swear. So like, I got self-conscious about it because I was like, you know, it's Disney. So there's like millions of kids everywhere. And then I found that I couldn't really stop myself.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's just how I talk. So I tried not to, like, talk too loud when we were in line or anything like that. Because you know how I do. But, yeah. So where was I? So I was almost done. Okay. So, like I said, so she's at the apartment trying to get her shit. Bob's like, you're sneaking around. She's like, look, man, I tried to help you, and I'm not doing this shit anymore. It's, like, not worth it. And she's like, look, Joseph isn't a little boy. It's a demon. Like, you know, it's not a little boy that needs you. And then Bob freaks out and says, it's the other way around. I'm the one who needs Joseph, and then screams at her to get the hell out. So she then turns around, and apparently, like, on the show, they show him, like, showing that she saw the ghost boy. Now, I think maybe she did see this because she apparently sees the ghost boy and hears him saying some stuff. I couldn't tell what it was he was saying because, like I said, I couldn't get the closed caption to come on. But then she said she saw what the thing really looked like. Now, she did say she described it, and this is like the real lady. She said it looked completely inhuman. She said black eyes, thick gray skin, twisted limbs. Those were the words that she used. So she's, like, implying that she saw the actual thing, and obviously it didn't look like a cute little kid. So after she sees that, she's like, yep, I made the right decision, and then gets the fuck out of Dodge. Thank you very much, Aaron. Have we already discussed Tom's mustache? Briefly we have. He's decided that he's going all in on it. I like it. Like I said, I didn't think I would. I'm not usually a fan of facial hair, but some people can wear it and some people can't. You know what I mean? And I wasn't sure because I'd never seen him with facial hair before because he's never had it. And I was just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to imagine it and I can't imagine it. But now that he's kind of got it on there, I was like, no, I think I kind of like it. But we'll see. He's going to let it grow out some and see, like, what it looks like. I used to think the same thing. Like, my brother grew, a beard and mustache. And I was like, I didn't know if I'd like that either. But I was like, you know what? It looks good on you. I kind of like it. So it depends on the person's face, I guess. I thanked Aaron for the super chat and said, have we already discussed Tom's mustache?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I said, yeah, we did.
We already talked about that fucking massive, massive fucking sexual impact where I jump up and just overpower the audience with masculinity. That fucking Norse, fucking Germanic, Gallic, fucking Celtic fucking manhood known as the fucking warrior beard, the Fu Manchu, the evil Spockness. But no, we're going to see how it goes. I'm either going to keep just this, or I'm going to keep his sides. We're going to see how it goes.
He's either going to do the evil Spock or...
Might just do evil Spock. We'll see what's easiest to live with. What looks the best.
Zach says, haha, I just Googled Mountain Fools, and it brought up a Norwegian comedy movie called Fools in the Mountain.
Yeah.
So they know what you're talking about.
Of course, I'm no idiot. I'm no bumpkin. Swedish boys in Brazil back
in the
80s.
Well, I mean, Sweden and Norway, they're two different countries, but similar.
Swedish boys in the late 80s in Brazil in an international high school were mountain fools, okay? They were fucking mountain fools. They drank. They chased Brazilian girls. They tried to spend all their dad's money. They would speak a mixture of fucking Swedish and English, and they were
Swinglish.
Fun. Yeah. They speak English and Swedish in the Swinglish. Same sentence. It was fucking funny.
Thank you again, Aaron. Oh, and birthday present. Thank you so much. That's so nice of you. This has been like a really, really good birthday. Well, it's been an extended birthday because, like I said, my sister took me to Disney yesterday for my birthday.
Just a little refresher course on that. That's good, isn't it?
My sister said they made another. I think she said it was coffee.
It's butter pecan moonshine.
Yeah. Because I told her, I was like, man, they had the apple pie and the butter pecan at ABC, but I didn't see the coffee one.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd have to like order it. I'm not really sure.
Miss Lee, all the way up in Korea. You got to Google what butter pecan is. It's a southern dessert.
Man, speaking of pecan, I still got birthday cake
butter
left.
Butter pecan.
I think I still got half that damn cake left. Half that birthday cake in there. It's in the freezer.
This is butter pecan moonshine.
Yeah.
And moonshine is a powerful southern homemade...
aphrodisiac?
Yeah, aphrodisiac.
Not quite.
No.
It's, thank you, Sly.
It's alcohol. Nearly pure alcohol. And moonshine. Some people just call it shine. All right? It's stronger than vodka. Not quite as strong as Everclear. It's not pure alcohol, but it's getting there. But you put it in a damn butter pecan flavor. It's all creamy. Like melted ice cream. It's beautiful.
Danny Rowling said the 2009 vampire film Let Me In would be a sick review.
Thank you, Sly.
I liked Let Me In, but I liked the original movie better, Let the Right One In. But Let Me In was good, too. That was the American version. All right, so let me just, like, there's, like, literally, like, two more paragraphs. So I don't think you were here, but she said that she saw the ghost boy, but then she saw what it really looked like. So she saw its demonic form, I'm guessing.
Who's she?
On the show.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Morgan.
Okay, so that's where we're at now.
Yeah. So she said, and like I said, she described it as completely inhuman, black eyes, thick gray skin, twisted limbs. That's what she said. So she got the fuck out of Dodge. After that, Bob stopped showing up at work and moved out of the apartment, leaving no forwarding address. So nobody knows if he's still around. Did he die because he had cancer? Nobody knows whatever happened to Bob.
Somebody with leukemia can live a long time, I checked.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I don't know. Like, they don't know if he's still around. They don't know what happened to him. So when this show was taped, Morgan and Court were still together. That was 4 years like after these incidents. And then Morgan and her friend Stephanie also formed a paranormal investigation team type thing called Entity Seeker, which is still around to this day. So Morgan Knudsen, if that's how you pronounce your name, if it's not, I apologize. She has an Amazon author page. She's actually written two books. One of them is called The Gift of Instinct, Paranormal Lessons for an Extraordinary World, and one is called Teaching the Living from Heartbreak to Happiness in a Haunted Home. Both of them say 2022, but that second one says it's second edition, so there might have been another edition that came out a long time ago, and then she just, like, reissued them, like, this year or whatever.
All the beard mustache guys are sending money talking about sexual impact. Well, I'm going away from the Roman soldier look to more the Germanic barbarian look, you know. So it's phases, you know. It's like fucking David Bowie. You know, changes, turn and face the strength. Yeah, you got to change. See, change the shit up.
I mean, as long as you don't go full ZZ Top, I'm okay.
No, I'm not gonna go full ZZ Top. If anything, man, the. What I've always liked is kind of like the evil Spock.
Yeah.
The evil Spock mustache. Or, I've always was like a big, because I'm bald, I always liked the fucking Ming the Merciless fucking beard. Something like that.
Don't they call that a Van Dyke?
Might be.
I've heard it called a
Van Dyke. Where you just have like that real thin, and then you got a bow, and it's kind of pointed right there.
Yeah.
Like a little thing.
Like the devil.
Like the devil. Satan. Yeah. That looks good with a bald head.
Yeah, you look like Anton LaVey.
Yeah, like old Anton.
Is that what you're really trying to do? You're trying to look like Anton LaVey?
No, actually, this is, of course, a fucking very common facial hair apparatus.
It is.
In the motorcycle scene.
Your facial hair apparatus.
It's a facial hair apparatus.
Now, that's going to have to be another shirt that we make.
Yeah.
I'm going to put your little face on it with your little thing, and it's like, this is my facial hair apparatus. And it's going to have, like, all... And it'll be like little ladders and like all kind of like little fucking like somebody's working on your face.
Sly's going, oh shit, Tom can sing. Oh yeah, dude, I used to, when I'm warmed up, I used to do whole musicals and shit when I was in high school. Fucking, I can sing well.
Yeah, he did all the musical though.
Yeah, I can sing well. Fucking, I can do fucking Morrissey.
He was a theater guy.
Billy Idol was a theater guy. Morrissey, fucking Billy Idol. I love singing David Bowie. What else do I sing? Oh, Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, he does.
When
Danzig.
I'm really fucking slamming, I'll do Danzig, and you'll think you're listening to a fucking Danzig record. Heart of the devil. I'm not
nice,
warmed up, but I can.
You do a nice Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison. Yeah. Blues sounding stuff. Elvis. I can do Elvis. Maybe not late Elvis. I have to really get warmed up before I can do If I Can Dream and all that. I'd have to really get fired.
Because holy shit, that... Yeah.
If I Can Dream. And then, like, late Elvis, he's fucking like Luciano Pavarotti. So I'd really have to fucking get in condition for that. It takes practice. You got to warm up and do a lot of...
Practice.
Breath control and voice control.
Yeah, you got to sing from your...
But I could get into top shape in 2 months. I could cut an album. It'd take me 2 months.
Danny Rowling said, looks like Tom's drinking a Southern-style sperm clinic specimen. Jar.
Man, go ahead. Motherfucker, that's funny, man. We need to send him some money. Send him a super chat. That was a good one. That was a good one.
I can't send super chats.
Okay, we
from
can't
here.
Send you a super chat. I would send you a $10 super chat for that. That was a good one. But I, I fucking, you got me.
That was pretty good.
You got me,
he's
bitch.
Like, ew, now I can't drink it.
No, I'm
he's like, I don't give
I'm
a
fucking
shit.
Hardcore. Back in the Army, we would just sneak out there and piss in each other's canteens in the middle of the night. Fucking, and then call them out on it. Does that taste all right? It does? I pissed in that shit last night. You bitch, you. Pouring that fucking cap in. Or if you're really hardcore, it says, no, you didn't, and just keep drinking.
Well, yeah, because, well, honestly, it's much easier to just say you pissed in it than to actually
piss. Yeah. So, no, you didn't. Just keep drinking.
Because I wouldn't believe you if you said that. Sly said, I like your blue hair, Jenny. Thank you very much. So, yeah. I mean, we pretty much got to the end of it. Like I said, she has a site called Entity Seeker. She's written a couple of books. And it looks like her thing is, like, still going. And she seems to have... She's been on Destination America. She's been on... this is what it says in her bio. It says she's the resident paranormal expert featured on Haunted Hospitals and Paranormal 911.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Okay, so she's making a living in the paranormal.
Apparently, like, yeah, and there were some pictures on the website where she was, like, giving a presentation, and there was, like, a whole room full of people, so I guess, like, she's...
Well, she does have star power, and she wrote a book, and she is
two
cute.
Books.
She's cute, she still looks good, according to the photographs that I've seen. She's about 40-something and held together. So I applaud it. Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of what her deal was. That's kind of what her deal was. And I guess this is kind of...
Oh, Morgan.
This is kind of like her...
Introduction
to the scene, I guess. Yeah. Although, it does say in her bio that it says she's been involved in the world of paranormal phenomena for over 16 years, which, yeah, that tracks. Yeah. Her story began with a great-great-grandfather who was the president and founder of the Canadian Association of Psychical Research. In 1918.
And if you're watching the show, Jenny's done many books on the paranormal. And if she looks great, if you ever want to hire her, she can also do fucking presentations. We've been to many fucking horror conventions and stuff. And fucking, I sell all her books, of course, because you get me to give me a stack of books. You're not going to get away without buying one.
He's going to beat your ass.
No, I'm just going to go up and start talking.
I'm just kidding.
How you doing? I love your hair, by the way. Those shoes are fantastic. Have you ever heard of Jenny Ashford? Never heard of Jenny Ashford? Let me introduce my girlfriend. She's a fucking paranormal and fucking and true crime author. Next thing you know, they're sitting there taking pictures and fucking she's autographing books and sell them all. But they're great books. They're great books. I believe in our product.
Yeah. I still want to like finish that novel I started writing, but
You got a new novel coming out? Which one was that?
It's one I've been working on for a while. Like I said, it's based on a true crime case, but it's like a fictionalized. Like I'm gonna go supernatural with it.
How's Unseen? Not Unseen. What was the true crime serial killer one? What was it?
Faces Villain.
You're at what, 3, right?
Yeah, I did a trilogy.
Okay, well, there will be no 4.
I'm thinking about it. Like, the thing about it, because I put up that Crime in Memorial site, and I've been, and I started that channel, so I'm thinking, because I had written some stuff for Faceless Villain 4, so I'm thinking about just, like, doing videos with that. I don't know, but I might compile them, like, later on.
Either that or just do a new serial killer compilation and restart it. It won't be Faceless Villain. It'll be something separate.
Yeah.
Maybe that, too.
I don't know. I haven't decided. Cool. Aaron says, Tom sounds like the ShamWow guy.
Yeah, basically.
He is like the ShamWow guy. Yeah. That's what you kind of missed your calling. You should have been like all those like infomercials and stuff.
No, fuck that. No, not back in those days. I think those guys actually didn't make much money. I think they probably got a couple grand to make those commercials and that was it. They probably never saw a dime after that.
I always wonder about that, like especially the ones that got like really famous.
Yeah, they probably did that in a day and got paid $2,000, and that was it.
Like, didn't the ShamWow guy get in trouble for something? Or was it bullshit that he got in trouble for? Like, they caught him smoking pot. I'm like,
I don't know what it is.
He gives a crap about that nowadays. So we're done with that. So yeah, that was Monster in the Apartment.
Okay.
Season 4, episode 12. Very fun episode. I actually kind of enjoyed this episode. I had totally forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those ones that I think I got it confused with another episode. I know I got it confused with another episode. But I don't know what the other episode is called that I'm confusing it with. But if I saw it, I would know it. But, yeah, this is actually, like, a really good one that I just, like, forgot about it. Because there's so many good ones, like, in the first 4 or 5 seasons that I just, like, keep forgetting them. So,
let me go down and make us a pizza.
You're going to go make us a pizza?
Yeah, is there anything that you got to address there?
I don't think so. Okay. Danny Rowling said subspecies vampire films would make for a good review. Yeah, I've been wanting to do those for a while. I've only seen the first one, but I really do like the first one. I don't know if the other ones are worth watching, but I think Shudder just added the first subspecies, like, not too long ago, and maybe the second and maybe third one, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll watch that tonight. I remember that being good. But we'll see what we feel like when we get into it. So, thanks everybody for dropping by today. Thanks for super chats. And I guess we'll be back tomorrow talking about whatever movie we decide to watch tonight. And then Wednesday night, we're going to do our main show, which this week is going to be about creepy astronaut deaths.
Okay.
Like creepy space stuff like that.
Okay,
about astronauts. So, yeah, so that should be a fun show.
Creepy astronaut deaths.
Yeah. All right. So, thanks everybody for dropping by. Have a good rest of your evening. And we will see you guys again tomorrow evening. Good night.